Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today the chair of the Winthrop Board of Trustees, a fellow by the name of Joel Hamilton. And I can't believe he's got a full day of committee meetings over at Winthrop University, and he has dodged out. He literally ran across the street from Cherry Road to get here from the show after I texted him and said, "Did we make a mistake scheduling you today?" And he got here.
We made it happen. Well, thankfully you're here at the substation, Manning, because otherwise it might have been tough to run across town. But being right across the street was convenient. I didn't have any excuse to miss it. So.
Good for you. Now, I can't imagine there hasn't been everybody doesn't know who you are, but we got a lot of new people here, so give them a little thumbnail sketch about Joel.
Sure. I'm Joel Hamilton, currently serving as the chair of the Board of Trustees at Winthrop University. By day, I'm an attorney and practicing civil law with Schiller & Hamilton Law Firm, which is headquartered here in Rock Hill, has offices across the state, and we specialize in personal injury, workers' comp, Social Security, and disability, and some criminal law, some other stuff here and there, but those are the three main practice areas.
Now, I often wonder what you and your wife, Marina, talk about at night, because she's also an attorney.
She is.
She's on the other side of this thing.
Well, she's a finance. She is the head of the drug unit for York County in the solicitor's office. She is a fine prosecutor, and if you see any of the headlines on your station or elsewhere that, you know, say that there was a big drug bust somewhere, that is typically ends up being one of Marina's cases. And she does a great job. I don't practice criminal law, so I've never been on the opposite side of a case with her. I would not want to be.
Wise man.
She is a very fine attorney and a fine litigator.
Good. All right, so here we are. You've been the chair now of the Board of Trustees is not quite a year?
Not quite a year, yeah.
And we're meeting. Are these quarterly meetings that you have over here?
This is one of our quarterly board meetings, and our committee meetings occur the day before the full board meeting. So our full board meeting will be tomorrow. But today we run through each of our individual committees. So if there are action items, they go from the committee to the full board to vote tomorrow.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of, well, overall, it's just amazing to me I'll call it a turnaround story from Winthrop University. Ever since the end of COVID and the hiring of Edward Serna and his evolution of the team he's brought in here. I mean, everything that was not going right is now going well above everybody's expectations. Is that an overstatement?
I don't think it's possible to overstate what we've seen from Winthrop and under Dr. Serna's leadership. So during our committee meetings today, we receive a lot of information from our individual VPs, our cabinet members who oversee various departments. This morning we heard from enrollment, we heard from finance, we heard from athletics, and I tell you, we heard from Sheila Burkhalter, who's student affairs, and one thing after another were positive news and growth. For instance, we heard from Kevin Hughes, who's in charge of giving at Winthrop, and you know, we've reached new heights with our annual giving. We reached new heights with our Bleed Garnet Give Gold campaign. Our foundation is reaching new heights in terms of assets under management. Our enrollment is also reaching new heights. So, you know, we've made a massive turnaround since COVID. You mentioned it. It all comes down to the individual people involved in leadership. You know, Dr. Serna not only has brought in great people, but he's also empowered and sort of unleashed the folks who were here to do their job and do their jobs well. And I have to commend the full Board of Trustees for their support and also in across the board with each of these initiatives as well. But you can see the results in on a year-over-year basis. We're continuously amazed.
Let's talk about enrollment, because this has been a fascinating story to me. COVID really was a left hook into everybody who was in the university and college business.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Students left the campuses and went home, and everybody thought you could learn off of a TV monitor, and they found that that didn't work too well. But getting them back into the classroom, on top of this new movement, does everybody have to go to college, which has been going on across the country, and just round numbers, Winthrop lost about 1,000 students during this COVID period, and yet in a short period of time, in a couple of years, you've got them all back and then some.
That's right. So, you know, as you mentioned, COVID and all the macros are working against Winthrop and similarly sized peer institutions. We have demographics are working against us. There's a smaller cohort of young people seeking undergraduate degrees. More of those students, we're told, were apt to go to larger universities, Manning. As you mentioned, people are questioning the value of a college degree. But Winthrop has somehow managed to overcome the macros, and we've seen similarly sized peer institutions face declines, financial hardship, and even having to close. And Winthrop has continued to soar. But, you know, when I was at Winthrop, we had 6,500 students on campus. Following COVID, I believe we were around 3,300, 3,500, somewhere around there. We were told this morning that we'll have over 5,500 on campus this fall. So we've managed to make quite a comeback, and that number on campus this fall represents another incoming freshman class, over 1,000 students. I think 1,043 is what we're currently tracking, and another increase in 16% of students on campus. So we fully expect to continue on that trend and hopefully be over 6,000 students here within the next couple years.
Now, that is happening as every university and college across the country. Here's a future student right here.
We got future
student.
Eagle?
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. Here, we have something for her.
There you go.
You'd like to have that, sweetie?
A big stuff sticker.
Hey, that's a big stuff sticker. You take that to give it to your mama. All right, okay. Mm-hmm. every university and college across the country is dealing with a changing demographic of fewer children being born.
Exactly.
Our birth rate is going down, and that makes the competition for students to fill the classrooms even more intense.
That's right. And so, as I said, we're seeing a smaller size pie in total of total students, but somehow we're able to increase our market share within that. And we heard from Amanda James this morning, who replaced Dr. Miller in our enrollment department, and it's fascinating to see the competency within that department in being able to visualize the sort of sales funnel. And there's more students interested in Winthrop than there ever has been. So we're seeing more inquiries and requests for applications than we've ever seen. And our conversion rate continues to be strong once they find out about Winthrop.
Yeah.
So the word is out. And then once they do a little digging and see what Winthrop is really, truly about, they apply and they come here.
I mean, it really is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Winthrop also has been pretty smart. You've done... how do you call this? You're doing your tuitions on credit hours now or something like that.
Yeah.
So that you're being more transparent with how the fees are worked and how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also structured in-state tuition for people who live right across the border up there in North Carolina. Is that right?
That's right. So that's another initiative, our tuition transparency. So our goal is to not hide the ball when it comes to costs. You know, some universities, they'll tell you what the tuition is, but then there's hidden fees and program fees and all these other sorts of things. We wanted to be fully transparent, and we've also managed to lower the cost of tuition over the last couple years. And I do think that's helped drive enrollment as well, because, you know, the narrative connected to Winthrop for some time was that we were the most expensive public university in South Carolina, which wasn't necessarily true if you factored in the program fees connected to other universities, but we didn't want that to be even the narrative. So we did manage to lower tuition over the last couple of years as well. So even our base tuition is lower than most other universities.
Wow. Okay. So the challenges that Winthrop has right now are obviously totally different from what they were several years ago. I mean, you're on a roll right now. Everybody's got caught the fire, caught the spirit, and as the end result is we got more people coming to school. But you do have one little headache. You lost a couple of great big dormitories down
here. Yes, we did.
Knocked those things down about a year or so ago. And I know you've got a battle plan that's underway right now to build something back.
That's right. So we're excited about that. And again, have to give kudos and congratulations to our folks internally, because we've really managed to accelerate that plan. We're hoping for new residence hall phase one to be online at some point fall 27. So we've got to get going here rather quickly. But that first phase will be another 400 beds. There'll be a phase two behind that of another 400 beds. So that'll add 800 to our inventory. We do manage to house already our freshman and sophomore cohorts, and we want to continue to make sure that that inventory is on campus for students. You know, at one point, students wanted to live off campus. We're finding that the trend now is that students really want to remain on or near campus. Part of that is market conditions. You know, rental rates are a lot higher than they were. It can be difficult for students, even with roommates and sharing the cost of an apartment, to afford that. And we want to make sure we're accommodating and making sure that we have a place for all the new students coming in.
But this particular year, when you don't have these new dormitory rooms available, you've been doing some very creative things to make sure that we can get everybody a place to they can call their nest.
That's right. So, you know, we have some great partners on and around campus. Of course, we have the courtyard, which is a fantastic property. And we've also given students the option at a reduced residence rate to go get an extra roommate, so to speak. So instead of two students in a dorm, they might have three. Of course, that's their choice. We're not forcing anyone into that situation, and they do get a discount when that happens. But through lots of creativity, we have managed to house the folks that we could. Of course, we don't guarantee housing for juniors and seniors. No university in South Carolina does. But one thing that is unique about Winthrop is we've been very good about offering assistance and coaching, so to speak, for students who are exiting campus and looking to move into an apartment or a house off campus, and helping them find places, helping them locate roommates. You know, Sheila Burkhalter's office in Student Affairs has gone above and beyond to help students with that transition.
Yeah, that's a whole program in itself.
It really is. I don't know how they do everything they do, Manning. It's incredible.
All right, so at this stage of the game, one of the other hurdles that you were able to overcome, and again, I look at a lot of this at post-COVID, you know, you just didn't have enough people to do the maintenance work over at the university. I mean, you were struggling. The grass wasn't getting cut. The buildings weren't being painted, et cetera, et cetera. And somebody finally said, okay, we're going to outsource this thing. And how's that going?
It's gone really well. I mean, as someone who drives by the university, how many times a day, Manning?
A lot.
A lot. I'm sure you see the difference. The university looks a lot better. And, you know, as someone in the community who was on the board, I heard the questions and concerns from folks who perhaps rightly assumed that the appearance of the university was due to hardship, and that was certainly not the case. You know, as we've discussed, we've continued to grow year over year. Unfortunately, we just couldn't hire and fill positions for grounds and maintenance, and so there was grass being left uncut, railings being left unpainted, and so forth. Really not a budget issue, just we couldn't find the people to work. So we correctly, and again, I have to commend our folks internally, decided that that was something that was not our core competency. We needed to focus on educating students and not maintenance, and so we outsourced that. And the folks that have come in have learned the campus. They've learned the routines and the rhythms of what needs to be mowed and cleaned and maintained. And this summer, everything is looking much better. And this fall, especially, it'll be phenomenal.
I've talked about this before, and I'm the first one to admit it. I thought the university was crazy when they talked about taking that fence down along Oakland Avenue. But when they took it down, I said the only person crazy was me, because it really just created a whole different feeling about how big this campus is and how well connected it is to this thing we call Rock Hill. Simply removing that old beat-up fence.
Isn't that amazing? Just driving through there, it does feel different. And I think perhaps symbolically, the removal of the fence really made Winthrop feel like more of the, like a part of the community rather than just in the community. And we've seen that manifest in Lord knows how many new partnerships, Lord knows how much new outreach, both from Winthrop to the community and from the community back to Winthrop. And I'm continuously astonished by just the thirst and the demand that was there for engagement with the university. And here it kind of felt like for years the university might have retreated within its walls. And those walls coming down happened to coincide with a fresh outlook and change in a new administration. And I can't help but think that's coincidental. But I think, you know, to your point, the wall coming down just gives the university a completely different feel. And I've heard someone say, this isn't my phrase, it might have been Gary Semrel's phrase, you no longer drive past Winthrop, you drive through it.
Yeah.
Because it felt before with the walls there that you were driving past the university. Now you feel much more engaged just driving by it on Oakland Avenue.
Well, it's a big campus, and I think everybody knows it's one of the older college campuses, university campuses within the entire state system, which is an ongoing challenge you have in terms of getting not only dollars available through your operating budget, but to get money from the state of South Carolina to do stuff that needs to be done. You got a whole bunch of it here recently because, I mean, we've saw new roofs going up and buildings being painted, and thank heavens that happened.
We do have aging infrastructure, and funny story, while we were in the midst of presentations this morning, power blew out. And Kevin Butler jokingly said it must have been a big squirrel. It, in fact, was a squirrel that blew our power out. So, you know, the trials and tribulations of having a historic campus. I mean, Manning is beautiful. When you walk by here, you see all this old architecture and these historic buildings, and it's a blessing, and it attracts students to this area, and it has a particular feel. But, of course, there's challenges associated with that. You know, I have learned in this position the difference between the true age of a building, the mechanical age of a building, and, you know, some of our mechanicals and some of these buildings, HVAC units and so forth, date back to, you know, the Carter administration or older. And, you know, it's amazing that we've kept them going. Obviously, they aren't built like they used to be.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a pro and a con. The feel of this campus is, frankly, initially what drew me to it.
Sure.
The historic nature when I chose to come here as a student. But it does mean we have budget concerns that some universities don't have.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk more about that as we continue our Straight Talk program right after we take our mid-program break. Reminding you, the Straight Talk is made possible by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. You can find out more about them online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com. Okay. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. Here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. How we do what we do is right here in the white letters, and we're all going to bellow it out together. We got some people who can bellow. At the count of three, what do we do here? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Piedmont Medical Center is evolving to care for you, starting with a new name and look. Join us as we enter a new chapter as Piedmont Medical Network. For more than 40 years, we've provided comprehensive care for our community. Today, we're home to 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of compassionate physicians dedicated to caring for you. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com/about.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Winthrop University Board of Trustees Chair, Mr. Joel Hamilton, is with us today. I mean, there's so much going on over there. It's incredible. We'll never get through it all, but I did want to talk a little bit about this announcement a week or two ago about a new Fort Mill campus.
Oh, yes.
What is this all about?
Well, this is very exciting. So Winthrop is expanding Eagle Country across the river. So we're moving and opening a new campus in Fort Mill in partnership with the town of Fort Mill, which we're extremely excited about. They've been wonderful partners thus far. You know, they recently purchased and renovated the old Springs Complex near Walter Elijah Park, downtown Fort Mill, and moved into the main building as their town hall and police station. The R&B building next door was previously occupied by Pike Electric. Well, it became available. We really wanted to be present in Fort Mill. And so, you know, we reached out to them. They were very welcoming of the idea. And so we're going to house all sorts of new programs in that. But we're going to start out with expanding the McFeet School and offering early childhood education through, I didn't realize this until we started down this road. You know, McFeet is actually the first laboratory school in the country.
Did not know that.
Something to consider. So anyway, we're going to expand those efforts into Fort Mill. Our dual enrollment program, which has been wildly successful with Rock Hill School District, will also be partnering with Fort Mill School District to expand dual enrollment there. Not only that, we'll be offering adult education and certificates. So one big one, for instance, would be our AI program. We'll be offering a certification that will be offered through that campus. So those will be, you know, a system of programs, whether pop-up programs, or we can tailor them for individual employers. We can concentrate them towards certain industries or spaces. And so our idea there is to really make sure we're empowering our local workforce to meet the needs of a changing economy. As we've seen the news coming down the pipe of the advanced manufacturing opportunities at the old Hutchinson site.
Right.
I don't want to call it the Panther site. But
good.
Right. So we have great opportunities there. And Winthrop not only wants to be prepared, we want to make sure our workforce is prepared. So we'll be doing that there as well. But it's a very exciting day that got us, and that announcement brings us closer, not just to the Charlotte market, but brings us across the river into Fort Mill. And frankly, it's long overdue. Fort Mill has grown tremendously. The school district there is incredible. The town does a fantastic job. And Mayor Savage has been incredibly welcoming. She actually attended Winthrop. She was one of the first Winthrop cheerleaders.
I didn't know that.
Her daughter is a Double Eagle. So, you know, there's strong Winthrop ties there as well. So, yeah, we're excited, Manning. I mean, this is just, it's one thing after another of good news and seeing not just, when I say the community, not just Rock Hill, but now Fort Mill now welcoming sure. Winthrop.
So what is the timeline on this? I mean, mm-hmm. you just announced that you're going to be up and operational this fall?
Not this fall. Hopefully we'll have the early childhood piece open the following fall, so 27, and then we'll be adding the additional pieces as we go. But what's fantastic is, you know, the Fort Mill School District students won't have to travel so far to get the dual enrollment experience.
Sure.
And we really want to get that up and running as soon as possible as well.
I would love to know the mechanically how that is all going to work. I mean, I don't understand all that.
Well,
that's a lot of professors, and that's a lot of...
It's a lot of logistics,
yeah.
Although we have a number of professors and professionals at Winthrop who live in Fort Mill.
Sure.
And believe it or not, they're chomping at the bit to to get to work at the Fort Mill campus. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, that all dovetails into a concerted effort to create or overhaul mm-hmm. the curriculum at Winthrop so that it's more focused on putting people in positions when they come out. And I was stunned by a couple of programs. An AI program, I mean, who would have known that the provost was an AI extraordinaire guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then this aviation program that you're doing with in conjunction with the can't remember the name of the FBO over there, but anyway, mm-hmm. with the city of Rock Hill over at the airport. I mean, these are two programs that I don't think anybody ever imagined would be happening at Winthrop.
I tell you what, it's been pretty incredible to be a small part of, but you mentioned our provost, Sebastian. He came from the College of Charleston as the dean of the engineering school. Well, lo and behold, his PhD was in artificial intelligence. And we were able to stand up the first artificial intelligence program major in the state of South Carolina. But we're not stopping there. We've undertaken the initiative to push AI across different disciplines on campus. So what that means is, you know, if you're studying engineering, software engineering, fintech, or whatever the discipline is, you will also be trained in prompt engineering. So you will know how to use AI. And, you know, I think there's a lot of fear and, you know, I'm no expert. Perhaps it's overblown that AI will replace people. I can tell you one guarantee is people who know how to use AI will replace the ones who don't. And we want to make sure that every student coming out of Winthrop has an understanding and knows how to use AI in their chosen profession. So while that program stands on its own, it also provides us a core of expertise that we can push across campus, and not just across campus, but into the community as a whole to make sure our workforce doesn't get left behind.
Good. I need to sign up for that program because I don't
know. You and I both.
Very quickly, the mm-hmm. aviation program, I mean, that's starting this fall, is it not?
Correct. And so the aviation program is also incredible, another first in the state. The aviation program will graduate students with a degree in aviation management through our business school. But the real coup de grace is they will also graduate with a commercial pilot's license. So they'll be flight ready by the time they graduate in 4 years.
Wow. Well, I knew we'd run out of time before I could finish everything that's going on. Congratulations to you and to the mm-hmm. rest of the Board of Trustees, and really to Cerna and his this group of people he's brought to this campus that just really mm-hmm. have an exciting synergy that's making all this stuff happen. It's a great story.
Absolutely.
It's a great
Man, story. Thank you for all your support and everything.
It's wonderful.
We appreciate you.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxing with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, the most important part of the program, sorry, Joel, has to do with Substation 2. What it is we do here, fresh subs and saddles, we do it 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters, and anybody who can read the King's English is encouraged to participate. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.